Hey everyone, and welcome to Table Dive, a tabletop RPG podcast where we find new and lesser known systems, get a little bit of hands-on time with them, and then give you our own professional opinions on them. Today, we're playing Here We Used to Fly by Kurt Reffling. Here We Used to Fly is a rules-light tabletop role-playing game about a group of friends exploring an abandoned theme park. Over the course of a single session, players will create two versions of the same character. One, a child visiting the vibrant amusement park. The other, an adult investigating the ruins of the same amusement park. As they discover or revisit each location in the park, they'll play out scenes spotlighting moments of joy, frustration, fear, love, loss, and more. So let's dive in and get started. All right, everybody, welcome to our review of Here We Used to Fly. I think the formatting here is going to be maybe slightly different than some of our other reviews. Maybe a little freeform. I think we're just going to kind of talk about how we feel, really. It's a game of big feelings, and I think we're just going to discuss those.
Yeah, I think the lack of like hard rules and mechanics makes for a, it's more fitting to have a review that's a little more free flow as well. So
yeah, I think that's kind of like a good starting point for everything too, is just to get into it right away by saying, you know, we've played rules light systems. This is basically a rules none system.
Yeah.
Almost, right? Like it's you know, there are, you know, mechanics through, you know, prompts and things like that that exist in the rule book and whatnot. But aside from that, it's really a brainchild of, you know, a collective effort to paint a picture of these people and the experiences that they've shared.
Yeah, I think like this is kind of off camera, but even me and Tyler were saying, we both agreed like the term TTRPG for us doesn't really fit the mold for this game. I've seen it more as like a collaborative storytelling experience, and it was so different from anything I've ever played before.
Yeah, it's actually kind of, when you say it that way, it's kind of reminiscent of an old game that I used to love that was a collaborative story building game where, you know, one person would start the story and then everybody would insert their next prompt and then they'd go through and vote for which one they liked and that would become the next part of the story. You know, none of that voting stuff, but it really made me remember that game. And I think it's, I don't know, it's really, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I'll start with by saying that. You know, the creative elements of role play and stuff like that are a big draw to you, then this is definitely something I would say you should check out.
Yeah, 100%.
What do you think, Stefan?
I really liked it. When I read through it, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to like this. I do like storytelling, so I was like, I'll give it a go, and then I ended up really, really liking it. It's completely different. There's no rolling, no rules. You just think of whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. Just have fun with your friends. It kind of lets you reminisce on times when you were a kid, which was kind of cool. It's not normal. Kind of bring your own self into the game if you want to. Which again, something you can't really do in most games. So I really liked it, but yeah, it's not a TTRPG, but it's really fun and I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I think the pulling ourselves into it thing is, it's definitely not necessary, right? Like if you don't want to be yourself, you don't have to be. I think we kind of all tuned into it just to kind of like feel more real, but you could totally play something completely different, right? Like, it's all about like just building that connection between a younger self and an older self. So
yeah, like, because like we did kind of put ourselves in our characters, and I found, and again, you don't have to do that, but I found it was like kind of a good way to even just get your friends, like get to know your friends a little bit better and kind of learn from each other and your experiences, and maybe talk about some things that you don't normally talk about.
For sure. Yeah, I thought the same. Is like, this would be a really great game to play with a group of friends as like an icebreaker almost. I would say it's like, you know, an icebreaker game would be kind of something where you're just getting to know each other, but like this is a little bit more like emotionally involved if you bring yourself into the game, right?
Yeah.
You get really introspective with stuff, and me as a big fan of, you know, but have a lot of interest in psychology and mental health and stuff like that, I think it's a perfect game for people who want to get introspective just for the sake of doing it, and, you know, taking care of their mental health and addressing, you know, where these parts of them have kind of come into existence throughout their life and stuff like that. I could see this being used as like a really therapeutic way to address those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's kind of the way I saw it. Again, you don't have to play that way, but that's kind of the way I saw it as well.
There is a caveat to you guys saying that it is therapeutic, because it says it on how to play. It says it is not designed to be therapeutic, but in my opinion, it is.
I think it depends on your group.
Yeah. Correct.
Like there's a list of what are they called? Like safety.
Like safety tools.
Safety tools, yeah. At the beginning here that normally it would be a good idea to go through. But we all know each other so well. I think we kind of know what everybody's comfortable with at this point in our lives, you know, and it's easy for us to kind of skip going over that. As a small group, we kind of know what's too far and what's not. But if it was maybe like a new group, or you're at a convention or playing with people that you're not that close with, it may be, you know, a good idea to talk about like what is too far.
Yeah, for sure. I can understand that caveat being in there. Like, this is not intended to be therapeutic, because if people at the table do bring themselves to it, it's very open to the possibility of introduction of things that might be triggering to somebody without intending to be, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that disclaimer makes great sense. But yeah, like, if you know your player group really well and things like that, then it's probably a lesser issue. But yeah, if you're playing with a new group of people or something like that, it could definitely introduce some anxiety or some, you know, triggering elements.
To talk more about like the actual like book though, I gotta say the questions and then the answers that are in the book for when you're building your character are so good. Like, they flow so well from the one to the next, and like the options that they give you, you can choose other ones if you want, some of us did, are just, they're so fitting to me. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, it just felt like the person kind of knew what they were talking about when they came up with all this stuff.
For sure. Yeah, totally agree. The questions, it was a lot of like character building questions feel pretty fragmented. Like, here's this question and here's this other question that has nothing to do with the last, but these flowed together almost like a seamless conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, the art is really good too. That's in here.
Oh, the little sketches along the way.
Well, yeah. I mean, even the Ferris wheel, like, that looks fantastic. Have a night scene. It feels like there's actually a light. Like, it just looks really good, and I like how they laid it out.
Yeah, the book's layout is great. Like, there was never a point where it's like, up, down, where do we go? Like,
yeah,
what? You know, where's it at? I mean, you page for page, you know, some book. That's one of the big things we harp on in on this podcast is like the book being in a crazy whack order.
And organization matters.
Yeah, this one's great, straightforward. And another something else we talked about recently is you can get a. I think the game itself is only. I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's $15, $15, something like that on the cheaper side. But you can also get a $1 artless, you know, like no formatting version of the game. So there's no real barrier to entry of price. It's you're not locked out of playing because you can't afford it. So, I mean, if you got a dollar.
Yeah.
You have a night's worth of entertainment.
Multiple nights.
Yeah.
several nights, you know, like I said, I'm a big fan of like emotional intelligence and stuff like that. And, you know, you get somebody like me nerding out about that kind of thing in this. It's you know, I could have a blast, you know, just getting kind of analytical about every single, you know, playbook in the game.
All right, so what's kind of like our final thoughts here? Like, how's everybody, what did everybody feel about it?
I gotta say, it's just overall, going into this, I wasn't sure what to expect, but I'm leaving it very happy. Not what I expected at all, and I had a great time with it.
Yeah.
I think I'm, you know, I don't even, let me... I'll like take a couple steps back here. I don't even know where I found this game. It was probably like me looking through Drive-Thru RPG, and it was like in the related sections that I eventually ended up on. And I think I threw it into our list thinking, I don't know if anybody's going to want to play this with me, but it seems cool. And eventually, like, it made it, you know, it kind of slowly surfaced into like the higher rated stuff for us to play. And even still, I was like, I don't know if everybody's gonna like it. You know, as a DM, it's kind of like what I do all the time, but not so much for players, right? So it's like, even going into the night, I'm like, I hope everybody likes it. And I mean, I feel like I loved it, and I feel like everybody else had a blast too. There was no point where I felt like it was kind of like a slog.
I really liked how normally in a game, it's a you have the main story. We kind of just play through your story. And this made it feel like a collaborative. We're all telling a story together, where we all get to kind of make the world and do all that stuff with you, which was really neat. And you actually get to play, which you don't normally get to.
Yeah, there was a moment at the very beginning where I was like, because I was, because I don't play very often.
Yeah. And, To that point, I will say I am growing ever increasingly fond of games that have a collaborative world building element to them.
Yeah, it seems to always be a success for our group.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, go ahead.
I was just gonna continue on, but go ahead.
No. I was gonna say, if anything, a little DM thing that's popped into my head was you could even play this as a character building for something else you were going to play. You know what I mean? Have like this be your session zero and have a couple characters go through this kind of thing and then kick off a different game, and they've already kind of like become who they're going to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. That gives so one thing I really like about making characters is having flaws in your character, and this kind of forces somebody to do that. If you did something like that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, it creates a layer of depth and connection with your character when, you know, you really kind of dive into the creation, you know, instead of just rolling up a character saying, this is my character, these are the powers they have, and here's this, you know, generic backstory. When you get to kind of lay out how it became who it is today, in really kind of detailed and concise ways, it creates a new level of attachment to that character too. So I think, you know, if you want to bring yourself into the game, right, being vulnerable and introspective is something that you have to, you know, be open to. I would say you definitely don't want to invite anybody who is more timid to the role play, to this, without making them very aware that this is basically just, you know, this is basically just a free flowing, you know, collaborative story building where, you know, in character. I mean, I freaking loved this. I would play this a lot. I'm going to give it the highest rating I've given anything, I think, so far. I'm going to give it an 8.5 funnel cakes.
There you go. Man.
What'd you give Morkborg?
Oh, it was, I want to say it was like an 8.
Okay.
Ooh, there.
All right.
Yeah, I got to say, like, I'm going to rate it, but I'm not rating it as a TTRPG. I'm rating it as an experience we had. And yeah, it was, it's hard because it's hard to compare to another system. So in and itself alone and in experience, I got to give it a 10 out of 10. I just so thoroughly enjoyed it.
I love this game. I'm going to give it a 9.5. I'm keeping it as a game, not necessarily as a TTRPG, just a game to play with friends and families and stuff. A 9.5 aluminum balls.
I think I'm going to be in the same boat as Travis here, and I'm going to rate it more on my experience than as a TTRPG, because I don't think I would ever hold this up next to, you know, Stars Without Number or Morkborg or right, any of the other things we've played and compare the two. So my experience tonight, I'm going to say 10 out of 10. I don't really have anything I could have that could be added to make it better. Like more stuff maybe, but that doesn't take away from what I have. That would just be bonus at that point, you know? Yeah. So for me, it's a 10 out of 10. There's something I could have really improved upon. I had a great experience with it.
All right.
All right. With that, I think that's it.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Bye.